Well, thank you for that message and song. That is the message. Thank God we can come just as we are. The difference is if you come to Him just as you are, you won't leave as you were. You'll be different. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Get over to 1 Corinthians, go to your right, get 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to encourage them. And I hope we'll get a little encouragement this morning from the same message, from the scripture. And I want to speak to you a little bit on the subject, trying to give a theme to it. I want to talk to you about the unseen or the unseen side. Context, of course, is to the church at Corinth, but it is to us also. And it was to encourage them. It's a simple message, a simple truth. And my, what a great truth, though, it is. The greatest truths in the world are often some of the, what we would think of as the most simple. But they are there. He's given us advice here as I begin reading, and I'll read in about verse 16 down through 18, just three verses. He's told them up here that while trouble is there, all of that is, he's not dodging that. He's talking about them being persecuted and trouble on every side and all of that. And yet he looks past that and says in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not." Look at on the positive side there. "For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And here's the verse I really want to kind of major on this morning. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, we're using the word seen, and we know that ties in with the word see and so forth. But we often say, "I can't see it, I can see it." And we're talking about discernment. We're talking about recognizing, having some knowledge of something. And when we speak of that, we're talking about, well, I see it, I don't see it. We mean, do I understand it? Do I get it? Do I understand it? And so that's in the context here, that we look not at the things that are seen. Now, on a very simple basis, you can look around and you see things that all the time. And the message here is those things you see are temporal. They're going to pass away. Jesus gave us that warning, didn't he? He said, "Don't lay up your treasures down here where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay them up in heaven. Down here thieves can break in, but up there," there's a difference. There's a difference. We live in a fading world. We live in a world that is temporal. We live in a world where there's rust and corruption and all of business that deteriorates. You know, the reason you have to buy a new car is you wear the old one out. New clothes, they wear out. Or you hang them in the closet and they get too tight while they're hanging in the closet. Right? This whole world has stuff that passes away. And he's saying for us to look a little, not just major on this is temporal, but look on that is eternal. Get our values right, is what he's talking. The unseen world is out there. So I don't see it. But we do know it's there, don't we? I mean, it's a truth that's really well known. As you read through the Bible, you go from the Garden of Eden on all the way through the Old Testament. From time to time, some from the other world do show up. There are angels that appear. Jesus, I believe, appeared. The captain of the host stood there with Joshua. He was from heaven. An angel came down and announced the birth of Samson. And you just go all through there and you know there's another world that once in a while intercedes into this world that we see. The unseen world sometimes does let us see a little bit. And we do know that it is there. And we can we can have clues right and left, and yet some of it we can't hardly talk about sometime. We do live in a time when we see the Lord through faith and we serve him, and without faith we can't please him, and I understand that. But once in a while he does give us a little glimpse, a little open window, a little discernment where we see on the other side. We see that in ordinary life. Let me ask you this. You ever have a day when everything goes wrong? Don't raise your hand. I don't get discouraged. When everything goes wrong, the laws of physics don't seem to work. That thing should have failed, but it bounced up. I mean, do you ever have times, and you guys that work outside, you know, you count on the laws of physics being the same, staying the same, you know? Sometimes they don't seem to work on a bad day, right? Know what I'm talking about? I think about the fellow on the job, kept hearing his buddies talk about how well they treated their wives and how they brought them candy and stuff sometime, and he got to feeling guilty, so he went home that day after work, and he had a big bunch of flowers and a box of candy in his hand. He went to the front door instead of the side door, and his wife came to the door, and there he stood with flowers and candy. She said, "Oh my, the washing machine run over. The baby's been crying all day. I cut my finger in the kitchen, and now you come home drunk." Now, she was talking about having a bad day, about everything going wrong. If you've never had one of those, you can go ahead and leave now. The truth is, if you hadn't, you will have. And the truth is, we've all had. And yet, maybe sometime we've had things maybe seem like going right and everything. You know, it just worked out right today. Now, I'm not going to say which one outnumbers the other. I don't know. But I do not believe in coincidences. I believe in God sometime intervening from the unseen world. And I give him credit. And no telling how much we'll find out when we get to heaven he protected us from. How much that we forgot to thank him for, or even recognize maybe that he did it. I'm talking about both the good and the bad. Sometimes God's even in the bad. Did you know that? Sometimes what we think is a terrible thing. I know of a preacher that was about to get on a train in the older days. He tells the story. And he got there, he thought on time, but he was a little late and the train was gone, and he sat down and he kind of fussed with God. "I had an appointment, now I'll be late for that appointment." And by midnight he heard the train had wrecked and a lot of folks had been killed. So he had to turn back around and thank God he didn't get on that train. And how many times has that happened over and over? Of course, we recognize sometimes we forget God's in the little things, and he's in the little things all of our life. Now, I've been in this city since the third grade. Come here about the middle of the third grade in school, and basically been here ever since. Graduated to high school, moved off and preached in the country for a while later, and come back all these years. But I drive around here and I see things that remind me of my childhood and other things, because it's just familiar territory to me. I drive down Peninsula Avenue. I come around Lake Eva. Anybody know where Lake Eva is? Over here in the middle of the city. And I come by a big house over there. I did it again this week. It's the reason it's in my mind. I come around that way, and I look out there at the lake. And behind the big house, they used to have a dock out into the lake. And at the end of the third grade, one of the kids that lived in the house was in the third grade with us. And we were all invited for an end of the school year party. And boy, I mean, it was nice. They had a big backyard on the lake. And we boys got out there and played ball, and we had a good time. And then the boys said something that scared me. They said, "Let's all take a swim." And they all ran toward the lake to jump in. Now, pride comes early in life. You do know that? I was not going to say, "I'm from Georgia. We didn't have a lake close where I live. I don't know how to swim." I wasn't going to say that. I ran with them. I jumped as far into that lake as I could, toward that dock. And I saw them doing this, and I started doing this, hard as I could, scared to death. It wasn't far to the dock. Somehow or another, I clawed through the water. But when I reached for the dock, I didn't know what slick was until I touched that slimy pole, and my hand did not catch. It slid down. And I went on the water. And I came up. And I went on the water. And I drank half the lake that time. One more time, I wouldn't have come up. A little old third grader laying on the dock had already beat me to the dock and climbed up on the dock, just reached his hand out casually, not even thinking about what he was doing, and I caught it. He didn't know it, but he saved my life. I climbed up on that dock, and I lay up there dreading the trip back. I didn't say nothing to nobody, but when I jumped the next time, I jumped halfway to shore. And I didn't stop moving my arms until I felt sand in them. But as I drive by there and look, that was just a little thing. One little old third grader didn't know what he was doing, just reached out and I caught his hand. Now I could drive by there now, and if I hadn't caught his hand, nobody would have ever known a little third grader died out there by now. They'd have all forgot about that. Say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say God has been in the little things. Sometimes you don't know it. And that, how much depended on that one little old third grader not drowning that day? I mean, I look on my whole life, and that is true with me, and I can tell you my stories, and you can tell me yours. God has intervened from the unseen world into this world that we know about time and time again. You may not can put it in words. You may not cannot quite understand it yourself, but you know he did. You know it came from him. It came from him. The unseen world reaches in every now and then to us. We see that in ordinary life from time to time. We see it in the world events today. We see the bad and the good. We see the struggle between good and evil today like we've never seen it before. But you look at our history, history of the world. Look at the wars. I love history. Supernatural things saved a lot of soldiers' lives in the war. You know that? I remember a man not long after I'd been saved in church, and we were giving some testimonies, and I realized he was a veteran, and he was a veteran of World War II. I'm sure he's long gone now, but I talked to him, and I heard a little bit in his testimony, and he said, I'll tell you this, God saved me on the battlefield in answer to my prayers, and when I got home, I went to church, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, because I know I wouldn't have been here had it not been for God pulling me through that. Now, the unseen world had reached into the seen world, had reached in and done that. And how many war stories could you hear? How many times did God intervene? And this world is a big graveyard because of the devil. And man's inhumanity to man, we can't hardly fathom it. I watched black and white real pictures. And I know they made some movies on this story, but this was the real thing. Taken off of newsreels at the end of World War II. Any of you ever see it, or do you ever remember the rust, what they call a rust bucket ship, pulled out of dry dock? A few American boys, young men, Jewish men, took that ship and went over, and they loaded up with the Holocaust survivors. Many of them had been actually in prison with Hitler, and many of them just in hiding. But they loaded that ship up trying to break the British blockade of the Holy Land to go back. And this is a very famous time. It was not England's greatest moment, as they sent English ships to stop that refugee ship. The name of the ship was Exodus. 1947. You ought to see that if you possibly can. And you see that struggle going on. You see the bad thing there that happened, and all of that, and yet God brought them through it. Some of them were killed. Many of them beat up. I saw an interesting thing, and you could see it. I mean, it was, they had the newsreels going. Those Jews took canned goods, corned beef and cabbage and peas, and canned goods was the only weapons they had, as the English boarded them and beat them with clubs and even shot two or three. They threw their food at them. That was their weapons. Man, it'd break your heart to see that thing. Like I say, it wasn't England's proudest moment, but God still made good out of it, and God was in it, and that's why still, even today, there is a nation of Israel over there today. You see the struggle through the wars and all the various stories. One Jewish guy told me that he'd been in the Six-Day War and 73 War. Scotty, if he's here this morning, when we were over there in 1976, And this Jewish guy that later got saved told us he was in that war. He said, anybody that would not believe in God to see the miracles that God performed. God sometimes intervenes. There's a struggle, a big struggle. And truth is, once in a while, the unseen world breaks into the seen world. And yes, God still does have his way in history sometimes when we can't recognize it. We can't see it. There are unseen wars that we don't think about. I want you to, you don't need to look at it. You can probably quote it. But in Matthew chapter 24, they asked Jesus about the end time. Remember? You remember what he said? He gave a pile of signs. Signs of the tribulation period and of Armageddon and so forth. And he said over in Matthew 24, nation shall rise against nation. But he don't stop there. He says, and kingdom against kingdom. Well, that sounds like a repeat, don't it? Nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. It's not a repeat, it's a supplement. I mean, let me show you what I mean. Down here, nations fight wars against each other. But kingdoms, he's talking about spiritual kingdoms. And there's a warfare between Lucifer's kingdom and God's kingdom. That's what he's talking about. Now, we're in the day and time. I mean, there's been wars going on. And many scholars believe that what takes place physically on earth like a war, that on the other side, in the unseen world, there is war going on also. And we do know that Revelation chapter 12 tells us that there was war in heaven, and it talks about Michael and his archangels casting out Satan and his angels. And so in the unseen world, there's wars. I find it quite interesting sometimes. You see these ghost stories, they make a lot of money off of getting you to watch ghost stories on TV. Some of them guys that call themselves ghost hunters, if a ghost showed up, it'd scare them out of their pants. It's all faked up so big. But there's some things that's hard to understand. My mother and grandma and some of the folks in the South Georgia where I was born used to tell a story. There was a kind of a river that went back through the woods over there, and they kind of were a little bit afraid of a certain area on that river because all the folklore, all the talk about it was sometimes you could be out there fishing on the river and you'd hear the horses and the wagons coming, you'd hear the guns shooting, you'd hear the men hollering, hear the sounds of where a Civil War battle took place in that very area. They couldn't see it, but the women would grab the kids and run hide behind the trees because it sounded like the wagons went right by. I heard that story over and over. Didn't understand it except grandma was pretty good with her ghost stories and keep you under the cover at night. But anyway, they got that on TV now, various things, sounds they can't understand, sounds of war over and over. And there's something to it, but see, they can't see it. There's something going on the other side, and there's some real theories about that. But I know from the Bible, one kingdom is fighting another kingdom, and it's not over yet. It's still going on. On the unseen world, it's got some warfare going on over there, even as we have here. Now, today, we look and see the struggle of evil against good, and brother, we're in the middle of that right now. I said it last Sunday morning. Some governor up there in New York said it's okay to take the baby out, wrap it in a blanket, let it be comfortable till it dies. I mean, we've gone into the evil kingdom side. Our politics is on the evil kingdom side now to a great big degree. God's values are being trashed. And the truth is, it's getting more intense all the time. And you and I know that. The Luciferian global kingdom that's predicted in the Bible is, I believe, fighting its last stand. We read in the book of Revelation where Satan comes and increases his activity because he knows he has but a short time. I believe his time is getting shorter, and I believe the intensity of the battle is getting to rage more and more, and you and I better not just get to the place we go to sleep. God does intend for us to resist evil. Take a stand against that is wrong. It's coming. The Luciferian kingdom, Daniel chapter 11, verse 38, talks over there about the leader of it. That leader, we call him the Antichrist. When he shows up, Daniel 11 says he's going to honor the God of forces. Sort of remember so-called Star Wars, the force be with you, right? That's the devil's force. You better be careful. And he's going to honor the God of forces. Now, you say, well, forces, what's that, jet airplanes, nuclear bombs? Well, it might be something you're a little more familiar with. He's honoring today the forces of technology. Yeah, artificial intelligence has moved to a place we couldn't imagine. Proverbs 6, I read to you last Sunday morning. Proverbs 6, one of the things it talks about over there is wicked imaginations. Wicked. God hates wicked imaginations. You know what you're having now? You're having imaginations put in cyberspace. Imaginations now over your cell phone, over your TV, over your computer. One of the forces of our day and age is computerized force right now. And they're worrying now. They may have this even show up in the next election. They have now got the technology to take a man you might know. It'll be him. You'll see his picture and make him say anything they want to. And so they're worried about the fake stuff now that's going to come for the people to have to try to figure out, did he say that? Was that him or was that fake? We've moved to that kind of age. Hollywood, several years back, used this technology when an actor, before he finished the movie he was making, died. They were able to take the technology and take an image of that man, put him in the movie, make him finish the movie though he was dead and buried, and nobody knew the difference. That's the age, the force we're talking about that we're into now. It's almost a supernatural force, and it's being used not for good, but for bad. And the wicked imaginations of man. You can't pick up your daily paper, the Lakeland Ledger over here, you can't hardly pick it up. Hardly a day, it'll be two or three times a week, somebody's being arrested for child pornography or some bad stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, folks, that the fight between the kingdoms is intensifying. Between God and the devil is intensifying. There are forces in this world, organizations, that are right now pushing to bring in the Luciferian kingdom on the devil's side. We don't have to be dumb to it. The Bible's already told us ahead. We are shocked a little bit. I'm shocked from time to time how bad it gets, how quick it gets. But the text comes back to say there's an unseen world and it's eternal. There's a world we look at that's gonna pass away. It's temporal. You know, true believers, we ought to keep our mind on the unseen, on the eternal. If you're just prepared well for this life, you're not prepared at all. There's another world out there. How do you stand in it? There's an eternal world out there. You know, some of the great pains of this life is because it's temporal. You love your wife, you love your kids, but you know sooner or later there's going to be a splitting, right? There's going to be a time. Let's just be honest. I'm old enough I can be honest with you here. Some of us don't have as many days as we used to. We're fading. As a pastor for so many years, I've seen my congregation, many of them going ahead of me. They leave this temporal world. They go to the unseen world, the eternal world. And we've seen it right here in our church, folks that have been here for years, our loved ones, our friends, and we feel the pain. It's not that they feared death, they didn't. It was not that they didn't know where they were going, they did. But the pain came that I'm leaving loved ones. And we see that coming. We know it's part of this old pain of this world is that things do rust out and fade, and we're going to leave it behind. It's temporal. It's going to rot away. It's going to be gone. And the sad part is that it is a temporal thing. We are fading. We can't hold the best of life. Now, I'm not going to ask you to confess, but in your thoughts, especially as we get older, don't we reminisce a little bit on the good times? If we could snap our finger and bring them back and freeze life right then when it was at its best, wouldn't we do it? Sure we would. But we can't. We can't hold it. It oozes right on out. It's slipping right on. We see that. But here's the good news. That's not the end. We're going to get another try at it. And that next world is going to be the lasting world, the eternal world. It's going to go on. Now, I'm glad I'm not going to enter that other world just like I am right now. I'm going to be better than I was ever in this world. And it's not going to get worse. It's going to get better. Ah, man, you say, how you get all that? Well, you read the Bible once in a while. God does give us the victory of knowing what's on the other side. You know, Jesus came to seek and save that was lost, but he also came to tell us about a better place. We better listen and keep our eye on the eternal, not on the temple. I've told you the story, the fairy tale, our nursery rhyme, whatever it was, where there was a big old crane, long-legged bird, walking on the shore of the lake, with his head down, always hunting snails. He eats snails. And a beautiful swan came flying in and landed on the shore and kind of floated up to him. And the swan said to him, I just arrived back from heaven. Oh, it's beautiful over in heaven. Everything is perfect over in heaven. Everything is so pretty. I want to tell you about it. The old crane looked up and said, are there any snails there? You get the point? We're all down here eating snails. We got our head down in the mud. We better look up. There's glory out there waiting on us. There's a heaven we can't even hardly describe. Jesus came to tell us about it, not only to tell us about it, but tell us how to get there. And we can't get there in our sins. Sin can't enter in. Jesus went to the cross and paid for our sins. He gave me a paid ticket to arrive in heaven. That's the unseen world right now to the natural eye, but it's there. It's there and it's real. And in heaven, there'll be a lot of things. Most of all, I want to see Jesus, but I'll tell you something. I want to see my parents. I want to see church members that's going on ahead of me. There's a pile of people I'm looking forward to see in heaven. And according to the word of God, I'm going to get to see them. I'm going to get to see them. I'm saying to you, don't plant your foundation too deep in this temporal world. It's going to pass away. It's passing all the time. Don't you recognize it? You know what we older folks talk about a lot? Doctors, hospitals, medicine. We all got home remedies. If they worked, I'd live forever physically. I've had so many offered to me. Now, I'm being a little funny, but the truth is none of it works very long. Even if I go get repaired, I'm going to have to go get repaired again, right? But one day, what I can't see now, I'm going to see. I discern it now by faith, looking in the Word of God. One day it's going to be reality, reality. I want to say to you, Jesus didn't come just to tell you how pretty heaven was. He came to tell you there was only one way to get there, and that was believing on him that could pay for your sins and get you in. Do you know him? Is he your Savior? Have you let him pay for your sins? When you get to heaven's gate, you're not going to get in by telling the Lord how hard you worked. That's a good virtue to have. Or how honest you were. That's a good virtue to have. But you're not going to get in telling him how good you were. You're only going to get in by saying, I've trusted your son that paid for my sins. You hear the singing, hear the lady a while ago singing about the blood of Jesus. You can get in just as I am without one plea. The only plea I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that this morning? Listen, if you don't know you're in a temporal world, you don't have your eyes open at all. You can't count your birthdays if you don't know you're in a temporal world. But there is an eternal world out there. And the advice here Paul gave to the church at Corinth was, look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, they're going to pass away. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Are you looking a little further into the eternal? Oh, it interferes in this old world sometime for good. Saves us from some things, but ultimately, only Jesus can give you the victory to get into the unseen world prepared. The Bible says that he went away to prepare a place for us. That's it. We can get there through him. You can't get there any other way. Will you be honest with yourself? Would you be honest to look on the calendar and say, you know, I know I don't have near as long here as I've already been? That would take care of a pile of people in this room right now. Are you honest enough to say, I can't make it. God's not going to accept me. I was not perfect, and only perfection can go there. And I can only be perfected in Jesus. So I'm going to trust him, believe on him, claim him as my Savior. Have you done that? I pray you will. You can this morning. You're in his house. You've heard his word. You can claim him this morning. Be prepared for the unseen world. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Will you think deep in your heart? Will you think on the truth of just that fact that this is the world we see, but it's not the final world. It's not the permanent world. And the only way we can get there is through the one that came to rescue us. Left that world and came to this old sin-cursed earth that we could go there because of his grace, his shed blood for our sins. Would you come and receive him this morning? Father, we pray that you'd bless the invitation. Pray not one would leave this building lost today, that they'd have their eye not on the physical things here that's passing away, but on that that is eternal, will never pass away. Thank you that you sent Jesus to make it possible for us to go home with him. May you bless today at hearts open to him. The Spirit of God would speak to hearts and people would say yes to him, even this very moment. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to step down the front. I'll meet you right here if you'll come and say, Preacher, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe on him and let people know it this morning. Will you come? I pray you will. You come as we sing. Just as